Farmer Friday on today's Ag PhD radio show. Hi, I'm Darren Hefty, broadcasting from the Morton studio today. I love Fridays for a lot of reasons, but on the radio show, it's because we get to talk to you all throughout the show. We don't have a set agenda going into today, so our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. If you've thought, man, I always wanted to ask those guys a question, or I wonder what they'd think about this or that, we'd love to help you out with that. Our email box is also open, radio@agphd.com. We've got a lot of questions that have come in our email box. We're going to get to a number of those today as well. And of course, you can find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Brian Hefty or Darren Hefty. Janelle, we got a ton of questions in the inbox. I'm just going to jump right into the AgPhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right, got one from Matt, and he said, thanks for all the info on your show. I'm paying attention to it every week, and I've learned a lot, but I still have some questions that aren't answered. I'm new to this side of the farming operation, and I just usually do the work. Now I'm trying to help with the planning. My question is, if we are planting Roundup Ready corn, I'm not sure if it's Roundup 2 or what exactly it is, but it's Roundup Ready corn. What pre-emerge herbicides are most popular to use on this year's corn crop? Like I said, I'm new on the planting side of the crop, and we're looking for, of course, low cost, if possible. Hey, Matt, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And you know what? It's cool when you get a chance to actually get involved in making some of the decisions. And I think it's really important for a lot of farmers out there to understand this, that if the people that are working on your farm understand the why, sometimes it's so much easier for them to buy in. For example, right here we're talking about weed control. And I think anybody out there could probably remember, well, what weeds did you have the toughest time controlling last year? Were there any weed escapes or anything you noticed at harvest time? And he said, oh, man, we got to do a better job on foxtails, or, man, we got to do a better job on pigweed, whatever the weed may be for your farm. I would start there and say, well, how happy were you with last year's weed control? And you say, you know what, Darren, I'm not happy. I had an issue with foxtails. I've got to do a better job with that. Then what I would say is, let's focus on foxtail and build a program around that. If it's grass control that you're trying to control pre in front of corn, then I would look at the group 15 herbicides like Dual, Outlook, Harness, Surpass, or Zidua. Those would be the best choices. Now, there is you can go cheap, you can go expensive. The cheapest is probably generic Dual. And if you're going to use that, I'd make sure that you use a generic Dual 2 that would have the Binoxicor safener in it for your corn, especially if you get heavy rains, if you have light soils, low organic matter. This could be a big deal for you in terms of safety to that seed. Now, if you say, well, broadleaves are more of my concern, Darren, I don't really have much problem with grass. Okay. If we're going to focus more on broadleaves, there's plenty of combination products that, for the most part, are going to put one of those group 15s out there for residual, soil residual grass control, and then they're going to put one of the broadleaves in there to try and take out some of the broadleaf weeds, mainly the small-seeded broadleaves. Now, if you've got some large-seeded broadleaf weeds like cocklebur and sunflower, for example, you're not going to do great on those with the pre-emerge herbicide. You're going to have to come back post-emerge and clean those up. But if you said, man, I really have a pigweed issue, you could start with something like Verdict. Or if the pigweed is not resistant to the HPPDs, you get all kinds of different products like Resicor and Halex and others, where you're going to put one of those HPPD chemistry type products in there, like a mesotrione type product. So you've got quite a few choices out there. So that's what I'd look at and just say, okay, what's my farm like? What do I have for weeds that I got to control? And then what are my assets later on? And you may say, well, I own my own sprayer. I can get out there whenever I want. I'm running the sprayer. No problem. I can be timely. Great. Then we'll put together a program for you post-emerge. If you say, man, I don't own a sprayer, and when I call a custom applicator in my area, I'm at the bottom of the list, and they're usually not out here very timely for me, for whatever reason. Okay, well, that's fine too. Then we'll maybe put a little more herbicide in the pre-emerge and try and get by a little bit longer. So yeah, a lot of different ways to take a look at that, and I'd say just get some prices, see what's going on, and then don't forget to ask about rebate programs and 0% financing offers that a lot of the chemical companies have got this year, Matt. And that would be another good way to start if you're planning. Just we'll line up that financing too. Thanks for the question. We really appreciate that. All right, got one from Brent, and he said, I'm looking at doing some pre-buying for the season. I was wondering about your 3 pre-program for soybeans and what you'd recommend for eastern Montana. All right, Brent, thanks for the question. Our 3 pre-strategy on soybeans involves taking one of the yellows. If you're in no-till, that means prowl. Or if you're in conventional till, probably trifluralin at 1.5 pints, so kind of a 3/4 rate. If you go with too strong a rate, especially where you're at, where you don't get an overabundance of rainfall, you may see a little bit of carryover with that impacting the next crop. So I just keep the rate of trifluralin a little bit lower than the full labeled rate. Then we would add in metribuzin. We love that. It's another chemistry that is pretty effective on small-seeded broadleaves. It's an old chemistry, but still works pretty well. We'd go somewhere, you know, as high as 1/3 pound per acre, but if you've got lighter soils or sandier soils, you may cut that rate back. And then the third chemistry that we'd use is the PPO chemistry. We'd use something like Authority or Valor. So when you price all 3 of those out, it's going to cost you a couple of bushels of soybeans, but you're going to really be happy with your weed control. So that's what I would suggest. And then, again, you know, look at what else you're buying for the farm and seeing if there's some tie-in programs or rebate programs that could save you some money on one option or another. But that's what I'd be running with if I was planting soybeans in your area. Thanks a lot, Brent. Really appreciate that. Again, it's Farmer Friday on our show today. We're taking your calls and questions all throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. Or if you're a little shy, you can send us an email, radio@agphd.com. I got a number of those emails to get through today. I've had a bunch come in this week, so we'll try and get through as many of those as we can. And you can find us on social media too. On Twitter, you can find us at AgPhD Media or Darren Hefty. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
In 1949, Morton Buildings constructed our first machine storage building to establish our bond with the farming community. Since then, our relationship has grown, and so have our product offerings. From the smallest specialized operation to the largest agricultural enterprise, we understand the needs of your business and continue to evolve to meet industry demands. Plus, when you build a Morton building, you're backed by the strongest warranty in the business. To learn more about the Morton Advantage, visit us online at mortonbuildings.com.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
When looking for someone to help with your risk management, a key component to look for is patience. Patience to bring you along in the process at your own speed. Patience to learn about your operation, and patience to not only discuss what strategies may be effective for your plan, but why they would be effective. That's the strength of Grain PhD. I'm Darren Hefty. When you're ready to become more engaged in your risk management, Grain PhD can assist you with that process. Visit grainphd.com to learn more.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a 1/2 inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio on Farmer Friday, taking your calls and questions all throughout the show today. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can send us an email, radio@agphd.com. Let's head out to Ohio. We got Keith with us right now. Keith, I hear you got some snow in the forecast.
Yeah, we do, Darren. That tomorrow they're talking 4 to 6 or maybe a little more.
Yeah, it's always fun. And, you know, it's interesting because some farmers are super excited about it for their farm, not just for recreation, but for their farm if they've got winter wheat out there or so forth. How about your, have you been too wet or are you guys doing okay?
Well, it's been an interesting fall. We've been extremely wet. There's still quite a few crops out around me that this guy's got soybeans and there is some corn. There's quite a few soybeans that the soybeans this year just had a hard time drying down the field. And I know we only ran like 2 or 3 days they were actually dry. And a lot of guys didn't run, and then they got caught, you know, with the beans out in the field now. And we just finished 270 acres of double crop beans there on the Wednesday before Christmas. And they just weren't ready when we got done. And but then, you know, we ran them there, started around the 10th of December, and then we got rained out back and forth and had to weigh some freezes. And we harvested them. You know, they still had quite a bit of moisture there from 18 to 20, and I had to dry those and everything. But at least we got them out. So it's been a challenging year.
We were in the same boat, Keith. We had some wet beans that we had to deal with in the bin, too. We'd put some bin fan controls on, mainly thinking about corn, but boy, did it come into play for soybeans this year, so I guess you never know.
No, you never do. And like I say, it was just an interesting year. And the other thing, the soybeans over here, there was quite a bit of damage in a lot of the beans. And there was a tremendous amount of frog eye in the soybeans in Ohio and southwest Ohio where I'm from. And if a guy fungicided them, it was amazing the difference it made, that it really took a lot of the damage out in the frog eye and the other diseases. So yield-wise, you know, we saw a little difference in yield, you know, 2-3 bushel. But the main thing was the damaged soybeans. It kept us from having damaged soybeans with the fungicides.
Interesting. So that was even just one pass of fungicides made that much difference?
Yeah, it was just amazing and everything. And because we're finding in southwestern Ohio, the fungicide thing, we've been running trials on corn for 3 years, on variety trials. We'll take our test plots, and, you know, we just see such a difference in the hybrids. And, you know, this year, some hybrids we didn't see, some we saw 10 to 20 bushel. So that's what we're trying to hone down on, is that variety to do the fungicide treatments on.
Interesting. I know, Keith, you've always been giving back a lot, working on different boards and things. What do you got cooking right now? What are you working on?
Oh, right now, I was just in Germany there about 3 weeks ago at BSF, and basically, nice soybean board, you know, we're on this trade issue, you know, we just keep hammering to get this worked out, and it looks like we're making progress, hopefully.
Yeah, progress is good, and I think everybody's behind this for the long term. It's just in the short term, it really hurts.
Yeah, but it's amazing all the new markets we've opened up with, you know, our cheaper beans, we're getting them into Europe, all these Pacific Rim countries, and, you know, it's amazing the markets we picked up with this. So hopefully when this all gets said and done, hopefully we're in good shape, you know, selling United States soybeans again.
Yeah, we were talking sorghum yesterday on the show and kind of heard the same message. We're finding lots of other markets out there, developing new uses and this kind of thing. And for the long term, boy, that's a really good thing for us.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, we were bargain price. We didn't like going through those farmers, but hopefully in the long run, it's going to open up, you know, new markets and really come back and, you know, be in our favor, we're hoping.
You know, looking at next year's cropping plan on your farm, are you changing the mix a little bit, or are you staying with your rotation?
We're pretty much staying in our rotation. You know, that we've been raising a lot of wheat over here and doing double crop beans, and it's really worked well. We kind of use it as our cover crop, and I've been no-till for over 30 years. And so with the wheat in rotation, you know, we pretty much stay, you know, the same corn soybean rotation with that. But we're having fun doing this. We've done about 3 years now with the wheat and double cropping. And, you know, as long as we, you know, manage the wheat and fungicide, we'll raise 100 bushel wheat. And the last 3 years, we've had over 50 bushel double crop beans.
So wow. That's awesome.
Really been a good... And we got some neighbors now. They're jumping on board doing what we're doing.
I bet. I'm ready to do it, too. I think maybe it's more fun farming where you're at, Keith. But yeah. What do you raise for beans? What maturity do you raise then in that double crop situation?
We like to be that mid group 3 to late 3. That's where we raise everything. But I've always dabbled with double crop beans. You know, doing 20, 30 acres, but my son and I, we decided with economics, we really stepped it up now that we're doing over 200 acres a year with it and everything. So, and this year is one of the years we got caught with a late harvest, but again, we still was able to get it all done and everything.
Yeah, that's really cool. Thank you so much, Keith, for talking about that. Thanks for what you're doing with the USB, too. We definitely need guys out there fighting for us, and you're one of those guys, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, we enjoy it. I've got 1 year left, so I'll be lost in another year, though, a little bit. But it's been a fun challenge and everything. It's fun talking to all the people around the world and seeing what's going on. And really it's fun talking to farmers, you know, telling them what's going on in the other countries and everything. So it's been a fun time. But agriculture, you know, it's so exciting now with all this technology and all the new products we got now, Darren. You know, it's just exciting now to be farming.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Well, hey, I better let you go. Get ready for snow tomorrow. Get everything picked up and ready.
Well, we're doing that. We're putting equipment away, and I'm loading out a load of soybeans right now on a semi and everything. So we're trying to get – we'll be all ready for it.
All right. Well, sounds good, Keith. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Good luck going into next season.
Well, same to you, Darren. Thank you. Bye.
We've got Kevin on with us right now in Western Illinois. Kevin, you guys expecting snow too?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, Darren. Yes, it's just a few miles south of us right now, approaching on us as we're talking.
Ooh. Well, is that a bad thing for you? Are you guys wet there, or what are you thinking?
It's a bad thing for several of them. They're still trying to cut beans right now as we're talking. But, we could do without this for the present time. The fields are just now starting to dry enough where they can get back in and do some late fall tillage and finish up harvesting.
You know, I know we talked before about turkey litter, and we were getting some chicken litter for our farm. We only got three fields done, and that froze up, and we couldn't work ground anymore. Did you guys have trouble getting manure out there too?
Well, I can't really speak much for that because I'm in an area where there's not a lot of livestock operations in the direct area where I'm at, but I'm sure that probably those that did in around probably did run into this issue because of the wet conditions. But, you know, even the commercial fertilizers, they're running behind getting them on because the conditions have been ugly.
Yeah, that's been a tough deal for everybody this fall. And you talk about this late soybean harvest. Did you have quality issues? Keith down in Ohio was talking about some quality issues they had.
In this general area here, there's been a few quality issues, but for the most part, I haven't heard too much about it being that way. And we've just been fortunate that way. But just like in my case here, I'm kind of branching out. You know, I've always been now have my pre-plant nitrogen on by this time of year, and that particular ground that's going to go to corn, always working ahead of time for like a stale bed planting session in the spring. That's not going to happen this year. In fact, I've already changed my plans of what I'm going to do for spring nitrogen because the anhydrous is not going to work for me.
Yeah, the fertilizer thing is really interesting. So what are you changing up? Are you going to do liquid, or what's your plan with everything in the spring?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get my fall fertilizers on. I've used the old Mosaic's Mez, which is got a little bit of nitrogen in it, and then also my potash and so forth. But we're going to come back and use conditioned dry nitrogen spread with a truck because they simply are not going to get on them. You know, I won't have near as much compaction issues as I would with trying to run the anhydrous. My ground just does not work good in the spring for anhydrous.
Yep. Yeah, you got to be real careful. I know it. We see a lot of the same stuff in our area that if we can get stuff done in the fall, it's pretty forgiving. If we're out there in the spring, we can make a mess really, really fast. And the other thing is with anhydrous, we haven't really liked that in the spring just because if we can go deep enough to put the anhydrous in, we'll probably want to be out there planting because the frost is all out and we're ready to roll. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on here. Good luck going into the spring.
You guys have the same thing. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Oh, boy. Everybody's talking snow today, and I'm just happy we got dry roads here yet. And I'm also happy that it's Farmer Friday. Look forward to hearing from you on today's show at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
1 year it could be moisture stress, another Pythium or nematodes. So you need your soybeans to rise ready for whatever the season holds. Now one simple decision provides coverage on four fronts. The Acceleron portfolio, fungicides, insecticides, bioenhancers, and an industry-leading nematicide that strikes where nematodes attack. This season, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/rise ready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a Soil Warrior on our farm fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at SoilWarrior.com.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, mare's tail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions. Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run vans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at stepsgms.com.
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today on Farmer Friday. Taking your calls and questions all throughout the show today at 844-44-AG-PHD. Let's go down to Nebraska. We got James on the line with us. James, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Good. How you liking? How you liking this winter so far?
You know, it hasn't really felt like winter, with the exception of maybe one day or so.
Yeah, it's been pretty mild. Did guys get everything they wanted to get done in the fall out in the fields in your area?
Not everything. There was quite a bit done. There's kind of two groups of people. Some people got done with harvest super early that had a 12-row corn head and stuff, but there are other people that were going till Thanksgiving and then just didn't have a lot of time to get much done in the field. So there's some of both, but a lot of anhydrous didn't get put on, is what I've heard also. So,
yeah, it's going to make spring interesting for sure. What are you thinking on your farm? Are you going to stay with your same normal rotation, or are you doing something a little different?
We are going to stick with the rotation, but I have talked to other guys in northeast Nebraska that are planning on going 100% corn, actually. But personally, we are going to stick with it. It just seems like in the end, we always end up better sticking to the rotation because of pest cycles and just things. This seems like no one can outpredict the markets, and so we're just going to stick with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's pretty tough when you make that commitment to go all to one crop. I almost think, because sometimes I'll hear guys say, well, the market price is better on that one crop. And I'll ask, well, did you lock it in then? Well, no, I didn't lock it in. Well, then there's nothing preventing that other crop to be a little better. And a lot of the data over the last 20 years has shown sometimes when one crop gets way out of the picture on price, by the time harvest comes around, it may be just the opposite the way it turns out, because a lot of people jumped, that's for sure. Hey, question for you. On your farm with equipment and practices and so forth, is there anything you're changing for next year? Is there anything that you say, man, I got to learn more about this because it looks pretty interesting for us?
Well, there's some things on the planter that we're considering. But, you know, like on the closing
wheel. Those are all cheap, James. All those planter parts are just super cheap, so it's easy, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, well, not the pneumatic downforce or the precision downforce.
Yep.
That's something I'm looking into, but that's pretty pricey, so I'm not sure on that yet.
It is. Boy, we've heard some good reviews on that. I know we've been really happy with it. I was talking to a grower last year. One of the first meetings we did, actually in the fall of 2017, and I said, who's done this? Because we're going to do this on our planter. And a grower just jumped up. He goes, man, it was 9 bushels of corn on average across the whole farm last year, he said. And That was huge for me. So he said, yeah, I think it's going to pay pretty quick for you. So hopefully it works out the same way for you, but we've seen a real nice benefit on our farm.
Yep. We're definitely out looking into much for machinery updates with how things are going right now, but just looking at small things on the planter, basically, and agronomic, you know, testing different products is something we do every year. But
yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, you talk about the planter and you started there, and I'm glad you did, because really, you know, all these other things that we do, if we don't have that seed placed just perfectly, it gets tough, and we can't overcome poor seed spacing and uneven seeding depth and those kinds of things. So I think you're on the right track. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's where the dollars should go on our farm too, just getting that planter fine-tuned that everything's perfect. We tell this story a little bit, James. We had Dave Hula and Randy Dowdy on our farm for a field day a couple years back, and he said, hey, let's go walk some fields. And they're like, man, you guys got to work on your planter. It's a little humbling hearing that, especially from those guys.
Especially when I hear Jimmy Frederick talking about, you know, plant spacing on soybeans, because I've always only really thought about that on corn. You know, I go slow enough to make sure everything's perfectly spaced, but then I'm just in a hurry to get the soybeans in the ground, and they're bouncing around, and my spacing is pretty erratic.
Oh, yeah.
And so that made me stop and think a little bit about, you know, soybeans need to be treated even in planting like corn does.
Yeah, and what those guys are doing with planting populations and cutting back and spacing things out, it's pretty interesting. Yeah, he's right in your backyard, so it'll be kind of neat to see how he does this coming year as well. Hey, James, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on here, and good luck going into the spring. And I just encourage you, get that planter fine-tuned. I think you'll love it.
Yep, I'm going to start next week.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks
a lot.
Thank you. Let's head out to Michigan right now. We got Kevin with us. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. What are you working on your farm?
Oh, I just took my little bit of soybeans, delivered those today. Soybeans for me were pretty bad this year, but corn did all right. We had a pretty wet fall. I was able to get the corn out early, so that was nice. And got my covers that I interseeded into the corn a chance to grow a little bit before it frosted off.
Yeah, how long have you been doing the cover crop?
Oh, let's see. I've been kind of ramping up the last few years, been trying to interseed the last 4 years. Haven't had super good success with it yet, but we've had, you know, the last few summers have been really dry, and I think that really affects how well I've had things take.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. We've had the same issues that where we've tried some things and it's been dry. It's just been frustrating. But man, if we get moisture, I like it. What at what stage are you putting that into the corn? You aren't doing it after harvest. You're doing it in the crop, right?
Right. So I'm organic, and so I cultivate, you know, V5, V7 my last time, and that's when I've been doing it. And I've been paying attention to what they say, that you won't see a yield hit if you do it even V3. So next year I'm going to try to go through an earlier, you know, start earlier, and the end of it will probably be V7 still. But
we'll
see how it works out.
Yeah, I know. Weather always throws a monkey wrench at things. But, no, it'll be fun to see how that turns out. And I know there's a lot of guys looking at trying to get out there a little bit earlier just so they have more time for that crop to grow. But it's tough when you get a big corn crop and it's shading things out. If you don't get it established early, there isn't much time in the fall.
Exactly. But I want to do everything I can to try to keep building my soil up. So I'm going to try, after my wheat, I'm excited to try some more intensive cover cropping on that too, and get a bigger mix and follow that with corn or soybeans, depending on the rotation, and see what we can do there too for weed suppression. And really want to build up my organic matter. Been watching a lot of these regenerative quote-unquote farmers that are conventional talking about, you know, no-tilling right into this nice thick mat, all the wonderful benefits of it. I want to be part of that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Kevin, I think you're making the right choice here for long-term. Building that organic matter gives more free release of nutrients through mineralization, definitely more water holding capacity, and a better chance to hold some of those leachable nutrients out too. So all those things are really good.
Yeah, it'd be great if you get some of those guys on your show too and get them to talk for free.
Well, you know, it's fun, and I think as farmers we have a duty to talk to more people about what we're doing and help other people out. We only get this short little window of time that we get to manage the ground, and there's going to be people after us. I was just doing a little reading this morning with a couple of my buddies. We were reading something out of the Bible, and they were just talking about how we can impact thousands to come down our family trees and in the next generations. And I think it's important that we do take a long-term approach and think about, wow, who's going to follow us and how can we best set them up? Because, gosh, when our generation is gone, who's going to pass that knowledge down if we don't get it done now? Hey, Kevin, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And good luck here going into the spring.
Hey, thank you. You as well.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio on Farmer Friday. You can be part of the show by calling us at 844-44-AG-PHD. Stay tuned.
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike incentive programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. You decide what's best for your operation, from pre-plant to harvest. Your retailer and FMC take care of the rest. It's really that simple. The exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing of the FMC Freedom Pass program make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. That's what we mean when we say we give you more freedom in the field. You'll experience more control and confidence too. Generics and imitators can't promise that. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor Herbicide Brands. Always read and follow label directions.
In farming, there's a lot of variables out of our control. Don't let fertility be one of them. Let the experts at AgroLiquid move you closer to your bullseye. It's true. AgroLiquid fertilizers are formulated to keep nutrients available to your crop, and they have unmatched compatibility with other nutrients and crop protection products, which makes application more efficient than ever. But we also have the best people in the field, ready to talk about your operation, your goals. Go to agroliquid.com to move you closer to your target.
We started utilizing the Dual React system this year. You can adjust your speed and it automatically adjusts your sprayer tips so you can slow down and you aren't building up huge droplets, or you can speed up and you're not throwing a mist that's drifting.
Hypro, helping you spray better.
Interested in strip tillage? You should know about the Soil Warrior from ETS. With one-pass efficiency, optimized nutrient placement, and reduced production costs for higher profitability, the Soil Warrior brings the future to your farm. Visit SoilWarrior.com to learn more.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today on Farmer Friday. Taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Got Jim on with us right now out in Ohio. Jim, how's it going? You ready for the snow?
We're not supposed to get much here, about 2 inches. That's about all.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. Or maybe you want it. Maybe you're a snowmobile guy and you're like, bring it on.
No. Hey, I got a 80-acre field. I always have a little bit of trouble with white mold.
Okay.
And I see heads up. You guys advertise heads up.
Okay. Yep.
Can you tell me something about that? Maybe some more information about that.
Yeah. We've done a little bit of work with heads up, and we have seen a little bit of help on white mold. I don't think it's the complete answer, but I don't think there's very few things that I would say are the complete answer for just about any problem out there, but it definitely helps reduce it. And you know, if you got white mold, we've got white mold too on our farm that we're fighting on a regular basis. And if we start off with a good seed treatment program and then just take all the management steps we can, pick a good tolerant variety, and then come back with a fungicide program later, we can definitely reduce it. There's no question about it. So, yeah, I think that's interesting. The other thing with heads up that's starting to get some talk is just the whole sudden death syndrome impact. And we don't have sudden death, or at least I haven't noticed sudden death syndrome on our farm before. We're not really in the area that's super common. But for some of the guys that have had sudden death syndrome, they've said they've noticed less of that where they do it. And it's neat. I mean, the way they make this heads up, it's the way I understand it anyway, is when they wash quinoa seeds, they take that wash or that rinse aid off that, and there's something that they're some kind of process that they go through, and that's what ends up being the heads up treatment. There's something in there that has capacity to fight against Sclerotinia and some of these other pathogens. So that's kind of neat.
Well, how long of a shelf life does this have? Do you have to treat it just before you plant, or a couple months before?
You know, that's a great question. We're generally treating ours right before we put it on. I can't say that we've done any fall work on that. I'm not sure. I don't know the label off the top of my head what their limit is and how far in advance they can do it. I think they can do it quite a ways in advance, but I'm not certain. They've got a website. I think it's headsup.com or headsupst, headsupst.com. You could find the label on there and see how far in advance you could go.
Okay, I was just kind of wondering about that. I've seen it advertised.
Yeah, we put it on with our just regular fungicide and insecticide seed treatment, so we didn't have any antagonism issues or any problem that way.
Okay, and now I got an idea for your show.
Awesome.
On television.
Awesome. Besides getting a new co-host, I mean, I'm always looking for somebody to replace my brother.
No, you'll have to stay with him for a while.
Ah, man. Okay.
When you send your soil samples in, you should just go there and kind of feel them, how they go through the process of sampling your soil.
Oh, yeah. At the soils lab, how do they treat the sample,
yeah,
and what do they do? That would be interesting.
Yeah. How are they instruments and how they process it and come up with their conclusion?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an interesting idea. I like that, Jim. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've gotten a chance to go through Soils Labs, but I don't know. Maybe there's some patented processes, but I think a lot of it's fairly standard. That from one lab to another, they've got to do stuff fairly similar. Otherwise, the results would be wildly different all the time. So, yeah, that would be neat. I'd be curious to see that too.
Be interesting to know what they do with all that dirt after they run it through this.
Yeah, I know. I was at Midwest Labs a few years back, and they had this huge dumpster out back, and they just were augering soil right out there as the processes got done. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask where it went, if it went to a landfill or if it went and got spread out in a field. I'm not sure about that. I would assume it probably goes to a landfill just because they've got nematodes and different things like that in it.
Yep.
Well, interesting.
Okay,
well,
I guess that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate the idea, and thanks for the call today.
Okay. Thanks.
You bet. Bye. Got John on with us right now from Illinois. John, how are you today?
Hey, good afternoon, Darren. Good afternoon. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, happy Friday for you as well. Are you in the snow belt here, or are you going to miss this?
I'm just getting an inch. I'm in northern Illinois. But, I'm just coming back from Indianapolis. I was at an ag conference, and they're almost calling out the National Guard because they're supposed to get 7 inches. So it's always always interesting to see where you're in different parts of the country, how they deal with it.
Yes. Yeah, so, and Indianapolis doesn't feel like it's that far south, but they just aren't used to that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, up by me, you know, I'm right on the border of Illinois and Wisconsin. I mean, for us, it's no big deal. It's just kind of like with you, it's just another day of the neighborhood, you know. But it is what it is. But anyway, Darren, I was just curious, you know, coming back from this conference, there were quite a few presenters, and one of their indirect things that I came from it was the satellite subscription services talking about making planning their changes within their crop plan while the crop was growing using these satellite subscription services. And I'm just curious with you guys, do you think we're at the point now where they've finally got the bugs worked out of it? And do you think that's something that's worth investing your time and effort in doing now?
You know, it's getting better and better. And we've been involved in this for a while as far as using those services on our farm, just to see if we can direct our scouting. And for the most part, we got into it thinking, well, I don't know if we're necessarily going to make big changes during the year because we were only getting images, you know, every so often. Now we're getting images almost every day that we don't have clouds. I mean, we may have clouds that impact some of it, but it's been pretty good. And yeah, we've been directing our scouting that way. And this last fall, my brother just really bought in because he said, look at our maps from July and early August. They almost identically match up to our yield maps. And he's like, I'm getting my yield map a couple of months early. And he really likes that because he's always antsy to see how's it going to do and everything. And he said, now I think we're getting some pretty good predictive tools. And, you know, for the early season imagery, once we get big enough crop for things to show up, I think there's a potential that we could, you know, find those outbreaks of a disease or an insect or something like that. To say that we've done that already on our farm, I really can't. I don't think we've been good enough at using it, but I think we get too busy doing all these other things and we just aren't used to that being a priority for us. And by the time we end up looking at it, it's probably old data that, oh, well, that was the image from last Friday and nobody's looked at it yet. And here we go. We're a week down the road and we probably should have already been out there. So yeah, if you focus on it and spend some time going through it, and every time you get a trigger from that, you get out to the field right away and look, I think it could be one of those in season make changes to the plan kind of thing.
Yeah, and this one farmer in particular, he had similar soil types that I do. You know, I've got low organic matter, so nitrogen is really, really an issue for me, specifically with that timing of it. And he had a very wet spring, and it was the amount that he was only planning on putting 40 pounds on. And then looking at his service, you know, he was able to fine-tune that and come with the wide drops and really, really pile it on right before tassel, and it certainly made the difference for his farm. You could definitely see what the yield results after the fact So anyway, I just like the idea of it.
Yeah, I do too. And I like the crop modeling that they've got, where a lot of them have predictive tools now to say, all right, your corn is at V5, or your corn is at V8, or your corn should be tasseling right now. And when you plug those things in too, and you say, I have to get this done by a certain stage, maybe you're targeting V6, V7 with a fungicide app. It's kind of nice if you get fields that are spread out, that you're getting alerts that, hey, you're approaching this critical stage. That's right. Kind of nice too. And I agree with you on the nitrogen. The predictive tools for nitrogen management are getting much better too. And I guess last year we ended up having some late season rains, maybe lost a little more N than what anybody could have guessed. But I don't know. Nothing's going to be perfect, but at least it gives you a good idea to hedge you down the right path. Well, John, thank you so much. I really appreciate the call. And I'm glad to hear you're going to conferences and learning a little bit more too and trying to get better. That's a good thing to do in agriculture, no doubt about it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
White mold, sudden death syndrome, root rot. If you raise soybeans, it may seem like you have all the cards stacked against you when it comes to disease. But did you know there is a new cost-effective seed treatment which can help prevent all three? Heads Up Seed Treatment offers a new proactive approach for dealing with fungal and bacterial diseases. Compatible with other seed treatments, hedge your bet against disease this spring. Ask your dealer for Heads Up today. To locate a dealer, visit headsupst.com.
No secrets here. We all know, regardless of the markets, balanced crop nutrition pays. Agro-liquid fertilizers have the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop. We also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Agro-liquid can help you maximize your yield potential effectively and economically. Visit agroliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
High-yield corn growers know that feeding the crop and soil are keys to maximizing yield potential. Nutec's EDA and Reverb are specifically formulated to help manage limiting factors associated with today's farming conditions. Nutec's EDA works within the plant to support nutrient mobility and utilization. Reverb focuses on the soil, providing beneficial trace elements which help condition the root zone for optimal microbial activity. Low use rates and superb tank mix compatibility make Nutec's EDA and Reverb no-brainers in the high-yield grower toolbox.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Want to turn smart agronomics into smart economics? Go with the all-new Grow Smart Rewards program. 1. Start with a smart agronomic plan. 2. Qualify with the purchase of a participating BASF herbicide. 3. Earn $1+ per acre for each qualifying pair-up brand. Plus, you may qualify for an additional $75 per gallon back on our industry-leading fungicides. For full program details, go to growsmartrewards.com. Grow smart with BASF.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. It's Farmer Friday. We're taking your calls and questions throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. Got Josh up in North Dakota with us now. Josh, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What's happening on your farm?
Well, I'm doing paperwork today. We're hauling corn to Canada, and we get to do it ourselves, but it sure is a lot of paperwork to make it work.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of questions about that kind of process, and I know there's a lot of our listeners that aren't anywhere close to a border and have no idea what you're going through, and I can only imagine government paperwork's got to be fun.
Yeah, you know, I never hauled to Canada before they made us do all this. You know, the commercial did, but the farmer didn't have to, and now we do. It's nice where I sell through. They take care of most of the paperwork. I have to fill it out myself, but they show us how to do it. And this is my first trip with it, so it'll be a learning curve.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. So what's the market up there? Is it livestock that you're hauling to, or a processor?
I'm hauling to, it's High Life Feeds. They grind the corn for hog use.
Okay.
And the price is pretty decent. It's, you know, about 60 cents better than my local elevator.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth hauling. It's worth doing a little paperwork for.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
You know, it's interesting. People are always wondering what farmers are doing in the winter, and here you go. Hauling grain and doing paperwork are definitely two of the big jobs. Do you have livestock yourself, or are you just producing crops?
Nope, just grain farming, corn, soybeans, and wheat, 20 miles from Canada.
Excellent, excellent. So what do you got for equipment in the shop that you're working on? You got any big projects this winter?
Well, I don't actually have a shop. It's on the list as soon as it fits into the budget. So I'm actually insulating my garage from front to back so I can actually use it to at least work on vehicles and small stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when we first built a heated shop, and I'm trying to think how old my dad would have been at that time. But yeah, he didn't have one either to get started. And boy, that just was a game changer for our operation. I remember we started off just putting a little bit of concrete in one spot, and we had dirt in the floor of our shed for most of the shed. And then Dad would make a little money and we'd put a little bit more concrete in and so forth. And it was a process, but yeah, that heated shop ends up being a big deal. So that'll be fun when you get that going.
Well, and the worst part is I've had one. And then moving throughout the years, it just didn't seem to work when I finally moved to my farm to start farming. But it'll happen someday.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, in North Dakota, too, you probably got 2 months where you don't need it. So it'll get use, I'm sure of that. So how did the crops turn out in your area? You guys actually probably got some rain, didn't you?
We had rain. It started May 28th, and it finished July 7th. We got 25 inches of rain. We didn't get any rain until about September.
Oh, wow.
And with that, I had the best crops I've ever had.
Awesome.
So that was kind of a shock, but I changed to solid seeding beans, and I think that made a big difference. We've had dry ends to the year the last couple of years, and just having 30-inch rows and getting that air movement through there, I believe, dried it out, and it helped to just get little narrower rows on the beans. And then all this heat we had with the corn, farm average of 140 this year, which for us is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. What do you do for the rocks? Are you guys rolling up there or just trying to do no-till, or how do you handle that?
Rocks, I'd love no-till. I just don't. The getting there and getting the equipment to handle it, I don't know if that'll work. Dealing with the corn stalk residue, too, I haven't found an efficient way. I don't want to bale it or burn it if I can help it.
Sure.
It just seems like I let it stand all winter, the corn stalks, and then we go in with a coulter, and I might actually go to a joker to help to remove some of the residue, and that seems to work, and so far.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's got different challenges depending on where they're at, and you guys certainly have a short season, and man, it's tough to deal with all that residue. There's no doubt about that. Well, Josh, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on the show today. Good luck here as you venture into this new foray, hauling some grain up to Canada. Hopefully, it all goes well for you.
I do have one quick question for you.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
You guys talk about a drainage lawyer for federal wildlife land in St. Cloud.
Yep.
Yep. Is it possible you guys can hook me up with a number for that?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure can. Let me do it. Let me put you back on hold, and I'll have my sister get that for you. Thanks a lot, Josh. Okay. Really appreciate
the call.
Have a good
day. Yep. Bye.
All right. Yeah, we get questions on the drainage thing, and the guys in North Dakota really, really have some tough situations up there. There's no doubt about that. And there are some good lawyers out there too. I hope. you know, with most situations where you're just working with other landowners, it's not so bad. But when you start dealing with the government issues, that can definitely be a challenge. Josh, you may just have to hold on for just 1 second. If Janelle doesn't have it, I'll have to get that for you here. We got just a couple minutes left in the show. I wanted to dig back into the mailbag because I had a question from yesterday's show, and this one came from John. And John is down in Kansas. And he said, I was excited to hear your show about sorghum, and I still want you to talk more about fertility and some tips from the high-yielding sorghum farmers. Hey, I appreciate that, John. I get it. We can't get through all that stuff in one little time, so I just wanted to throw out a few things. So I did end up talking a little bit fertility with one of the callers or one of the farmers that was talking about sorghum on the show. And one of the big things that I'd look at on the AgPHD fertilizer removal app, you can type in whatever your yield goal is. His was 120 bushel sorghum, so I'll just use that as an example. The total removal for that crop is about 80 pounds of nitrogen, 47 pounds of phosphate, 32 pounds of K2O potassium, and 7 pounds of sulfur. And I think we had multiple guys on the show that talked about, hey, sulfur is getting to be a big issue, and each year they're finding that their levels are lower than the year before, and so we're certainly removing more than what we're putting into the crop. So I think it's important to really focus on that. We'd like to see sulfur levels on our soil tests at least 25 parts per million. If we're not there, we're trying to build them up, and we're certainly applying some sulfur each year. If your crops are moving 7 pounds, typically, you're going to need more than 7 pounds out there for the season. So maybe you put 15 pounds out or something like that in addition to trying to get your soil test levels up to where they need to be. Soil organic matter, building that. We had a caller earlier on today's program talking about how important that soil organic matter levels, how important those levels are for his farm. I would agree with that, especially with nutrients like sulfur, where if it's in the sulfate form, it can leach out. So having more organic matter allows you more holding capacity to try and hold some of those anions or negatively charged nutrients. You know, with the P and the K, depending on where you're at in your rotation, some growers are trying to focus on, well, I've got a 2-year plan or a 3-year plan, and I'm going to put it all out in one slug. We've had really good success putting it out as we're using it. So, hey, if I'm planting sorghum this year, I'm going to fertilize the sorghum crop. And then if I'm planting soybeans next year, I'm going to fertilize the soybean crop. I'm not going to think that I've got all this carryover fertilizer that's going to make a big difference. And then seed spacing, just like when we talk about corn, we want to have good seed spacing with the sorghum and put that fertility close to that root zone, whether it's in a strip till or in a 2x2 or whatever you could do for your farm. Brian, anything else you think about, just standard things that we would recommend for a soybean grower? Oh, weed control too, just having perfect weed control.
Well, I'm happy I get to join the show for the last minute here, but minute and a half, whatever. Hey, one thing I was thinking about when you mentioned sulfur and you mentioned leaching, I just like to remind guys, sulfate does not leach as easily as nitrate. And boron is even less than that. I was just talking to some guys about boron today and just building the overall soil as opposed to trying to foliar your feed. Because, yeah, boron can leach to some degree, but if you're in a drier area and especially with heavy soil, it just doesn't move all that much. So I'm not that worried about it. We just have to be careful what we're doing for rate.
Yep. And back to the weed control thing in sorghum, one of the things that we see is guys are trying to cut costs and keep their costs as low as they can. Make sure you've got concept treated seeds. You can use one of those group 15s pre.
Right.
You do a really good job on grass. That seems to be the biggest yield robber.
For sure.
You know, when it comes to the broadleaf control, lots of choices there of what you could do. And certainly there's a lot of guys still using dicamba at a half a pint along with a half pound of atrazine, something like that, if you get out there early. But you just got to be timely with your applications to control weeds when they're small. Hey, thanks for the feedback, John. We really appreciate that. Thanks for listening to our show. Thanks to everybody who called in or wrote in with questions today. I had a fun show on Farmer Friday. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now, stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.